Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh. I'm joined as always when we're talking about Raw by David J. McCutcheon. This is episode 33, The Fallout from Fastlane. David, how the hell are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Episode 33, WrestleMania turns 33. The Smashing Pumpkins had a song called 33. I'm trying to think of as many things with the number 33 as possible.
The last time the Big Show was over was 33 years ago.
still got that bug up your butt, do you, Kenny?
If you would like to sign up to Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes, and we have had a fair few subscribers in the last kind of couple of days, so I do want to thank everybody that has signed up. I had a bit of a breakdown on the Patreon Fastlane review. David, tell the people what happened briefly.
Oh my god. This motherfucker throws the... Like, I've had some hissy fits in my day, you guys. I know, it's hard to believe. I'm so composed and eloquent. I know it's difficult. But I've thrown a few hissy fits, right? This motherfucker, though, he took the cake. The absolute cake, the delicious moist cake that the Big Show would like to eat right now.
And with his fucking fake abs.
So the gist of it, I won't give away all of it because you guys need to subscribe to Patreon. It's only $3.
Sondra made a point of retweeting it and saying, let me just actually get exactly what she said. I didn't even realize she'd listened to it, but Sondra just said, $3 plus subscribers get to hear Kenny McIntosh's feelings on the Big Show's abs. Absolutely made my night. So
his summation of it is he thinks that the abs are photoshopped. He does not believe those are real abs because you cannot see them when he wrestles.
Did you fucking see them on Sunday?
I saw. Technically,
I saw fuck.
Technically, I saw his abdomen.
That's like when you see a grandmother when her vagina drapes across the floor and you go, oh, she's still got it. She still does, but it's not necessarily something you want to see.
For fuck's sake, Kenny, I'm trying to drink this smoothie for lunch. And it already tastes fucking horrible. I don't need to think about granny
now,
vaginas.
There's been a lot of you know, conversation over the last couple of weeks with all of our lovely listeners Inside the Ropes. You know, there's been people, Alex, our resident photo man, has been making up, you know, midget mud wrestling photos and stuff, and people have been, you know, somebody tweeted Sondra saying 30 minutes till they talk wrestling on Raw, 30 seconds till we talk about it on SmackDown. Thank you for keeping the show together. So, and that was hollow for now. But I received I'm genuinely not making this. I know that it seems like, oh, they're about to do a bit. I mean, we probably are, but like, this is a legit email that I received to the point where I will screenshot it so you people see I'm not making this up. But this email made my fucking year. So, I don't check my What Culture emails that often because, you know, I hate my job. But, you know, I'm kidding.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
yeah. We'll just... Anyway, I'm moving on. Sometimes it's so tempted to say things that I can't. But anyway, so I was checking my emails and I had an email and it was about Raw, the Raw Rundown, and David J. McCutcheon.
Oh!
I thought, well, I need to read this. So here is the email, and it's full from a Mr. Will Ball.
Will Ball.
Here's what Will has to say. Subject, Inside the Ropes podcast. Dear Kenneth, and I appreciate being called my Sunday name by a stranger. Dear Kenneth, I write in reference to the Raw Rundown episode 32 podcast, where we learned the truth of Mr. David J. McCutcheon's purported heart surgery. I am an NHS employee, which means National Health Service, for our non-UK listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm an NHS employee working in a cardiac catheterization laboratory where the percutaneous coronary intervention is carried out. Mm-hmm. Whilst deploying stents into coronary artery lesions, or lesions, I don't know how you pronounce it, L-E-S-I-O-N-S, is a procedure which carries not inconsiderable risk. Mm-hmm. It is by no means as impactful on a patient's recovery or on the same level as true surgical intervention, i.e. a bypass.
I have called this to question many times whenever you say I've had heart attacks, which I have not. I have had heart surgeries. I have not. I've had heart procedures, and you always dub them surgeries. None of this is new.
Am I allowed to finish the email?
Or I'm going to call him Bill Ball. Yeah, I said it.
You can't call him Bill Ball. This isn't a podcast about that. Let me finish Will's email here. And he says, sure. I put it to you. He's putting it to me here. He says, I put it to you that Mr. David J. McCutcheon has misrepresented his treatment in an attempt to garner sympathy from lay podcast listeners. It should be known that this is the case and added to his list of misdemeanors alongside his midget mud wrestling antics. Kind regards from a loyal listener, Will. P.S.
Bill.
Please pass on. Wait. Kind regards from a loyal listener, Will. P.S. Please pass on my best wishes for David, and I hope his recovery is continued. If he can keep up his lifestyle changes, he'll go a long way towards avoiding further problems with his coronary arteries. P.P.S. I've sent this to your What Culture email address using their bandwidth. Damn the man. As the contact page of ITR isn't loading right now. Will, what an email, sir. I salute you.
Will, if you were a real long-time listener, Will, if that is your real name, then you would know that whenever I had this done, I actually downplayed it and told Kenny, hey, I'm having procedures done. They are commonplace. There's like a 2% chance I will die. But but it is to prevent any damage to my heart. And week after week, Kenny always parades it around like I've had 4 heart attacks. And
I parade that around.
You do.
Listen. You're the guy. 80%
of the time, the first one to mention something.
You're the guy at the party who people goes, oh, do you want a beer? No, I had heart surgery. That's you. That's what you're like.
I can't. You know why? Because Mr. William Ball, okay, since he took my side at the end, right? William Ball, the scientist involved with heart procedures, right?
Right, okay, you're calling him a scientist. It's not like he's reached for anything here.
He is incredibly intelligent. He stated that if I continue with my healthy lifestyle and all of my lifestyle changes, which, by the way, do include no longer drinking alcohol, right? They told me after the procedures I could have 1 beer every 4 hours if I had to, but they recommend not drinking any beer. So here's the thing, Kenny. This isn't a gimmick, all right? This isn't something I'm putting on T-shirts to make money, but you could do that and give me the money.
Yet.
I'm just saying, this is my real life. I don't want to arrive at
Are you about to burst into song here?
Don't interrupt me.
Are you about to do a ballad?
This isn't the O'Reilly factor. I don't want people to start buying me shots and beers at the bar. So I factually tell them, I'm sorry, I cannot have beers anymore. I will gladly drink a Shirley Temple, since my sugar levels are perfectly fine and have been in my entire
life. What's a Shirley Temple?
A Shirley Temple is a non-alcoholic cocktail that they give little kids.
So you just have a pedo cocktail then?
No, exactly. And they're fucking delicious, Kenny. Me and you are drinking Shirley Temples the entire time we are in Orlando.
Then you go back into your van looting children and with sweets. Is that what goes on next? Anyway.
Now, it's hardly a van, okay? It's like one of those choo-choo trains you'd find.
Don't continue it. Don't make a mobile here for your pedophilic endeavors, please.
All aboard the choo-choo.
Oh, God. But thank you to Will for emailing us, and thank you to David for reminding us on a weekly basis. Now, here's the other thing, and I didn't
mention it first this time, you guys. You brought up the email just
now.
Saying.
Here's the other thing. Here's the thing. Last week, and I've genuinely not listened to it, but last week, I had a busy week, and I didn't have time to make some dinner, and I ordered a pizza. You apparently decided that it would be funny. You thought it would be really funny to mock me for having a pizza.
I like that you said funny like a basic bitch American white girl. It would be really funny. Oh my god.
That's how you speak whenever you try to insult me. You're the basic bitch here. Let's be honest.
What insults are you getting at, Kenny?
I'm going to throw you some shade here. I don't even know what the insults are yet, but I know you threw me insults, motherfucker. I know. I came back in the podcast and you were like, "Oh, you don't need to edit it." Really?
No.
Really?
No,
so for 4 minutes you didn't need it. And I know just because you are stuck eating your fucking tofu, right? Which I, out of the goodness of my heart, have said, when we're in Orlando, let's go get some tofu, because that's the kind of friend I am. But instead, you need to pick apart at me, because that's the kind of person you are, and that's fine. But do you know what I'm going to do, David McCutcheon? I'm going to love you as a friend with kindness, and that's how I'm going to get back at you.
Kenny. Let me explain what happened, okay?
Let me guess. Here's the thing. Go on. Do your here's the thing 6 times before you say what it is.
Here's the thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Kenny, I was seeking some advice. As you know, I'm into stage plays, right? Right? I am a Shakespearean actor. There you go. Right?
You just compared yourself to a pedophile 90 seconds ago, and now you're into Shakespeare.
I have many hats, Kenny. Here's the thing, though, Kenny. All right. I was seeking some feedback. I'm new to this. It's a new endeavor for me, and I'm trying desperately to get good at theatrical acting. Right? Okay. So I'm trying my best, right, to branch out into this new endeavor. And I know I'm not good yet. But that's okay. It just takes a little bit of time, and it takes the feedback. And I thought we have such a dedicated listener base here at Inside the Ropes, right? We have outstanding numbers every week because of me. And I thought that it would be just really nice if I could use the time of the listeners, that 4 minutes that you were busy getting a pizza or a chicken breast, as it were. Okay, all right, calm down. I hear you simmering. Calm down. Okay. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we always talk off the cuff here, right? Right? That's part of Inside the Ropes. People like a good gag. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a stage play about a man named Kenny McIntyre, who often ordered takeout or takeaway or carry out, right? Delivery. And he constantly got stuff. And I was exhibiting the persona of the bad guy in this play, right? Plotting my revenge and scheming to kill this Kenneth McIntyre.
You almost fucking said Macintosh there. You just got away with that with a skin of your fucking teeth. Okay, keep going with your fucking bullshit.
Everybody
knows that you almost fucked that there. And you might pretend that you didn't, but I know you almost fucked that there. I know you were so close.
Kenny, come on now. Me, little innocent David. Come on now. You seriously wouldn't suggest that I would do such a thing.
Yes, I would. 100%. That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Trying to harness the power of great thespians that came before me, right? And I think I did a great job. I fooled you, apparently, because you think I'm a bad person now. And you took it personally. So I must have been really good at this stage play thing. Maybe that's my future. If I could fool my good friend Kenny McIntosh into thinking that he was this Kenny McIntyre that I made up, then surely I could fool dozens upon dozens, and maybe even hundreds upon hundreds of playgoers that attend the theater for the theatrical musings of someone of my caliber.
You know, you don't need to be like a ham actor when you say theatrical music. You don't have to. You don't have to like theatrical music.
I, Kenny, can I make a confession here on Inside the Ropes?
I dread it, but go on.
I'm getting into this plays thing. That way, I can slip into the opera. It's my transitional period.
This week's Raw was from Chicago, Illinois. That's where Raw happened, David. Remember wrestling?
They have an excellent theater district, by the way.
So before we delve into Raw, I want to just explain to you one, and I'm going to say this because I feel like David said it so well. It's on the Patreon review as well, patreon.com/insidetheropes. David and I reviewed Fastlane. Rave reviews so far, new subscribers, all that good stuff. And like David has had, and I'm being very serious now, all joking aside, David has had one of the worst runs of luck of anyone I've ever met. Right?
Yes.
He's had like family deaths, he's had like hospitalizations, all these things have happened to him. So we're talking about the show, we're talking about Fastlane and our befuddlement at some of the creative decisions that were made. And then we got to the Jinder Mahal match. And David's comparison of something that happened to his, in his life, a genuine event that was really harrowing, and he compared it to Jinder Mahal. So all I'm going to say, if you want to go and listen to the full version of this, and he said this so I can feel okay about saying it, David McCutcheon's father, his lovely father, passed away. And it was a very long, horrible period of David's life.
A three-year bout
where he nursed his father through his final, you know, passing on to whatever's next. And
I was the only one who could get him to eat. That isn't a joke. That is the absolute truth. I had to hand-feed my father until he slipped into a coma, finally, after 3 years of fighting 16 strokes. And 3 heart attacks until he slipped into a coma and died peacefully.
And David McCutcheon felt that that process was quicker than how long it felt watching Jinder Mahal wrestle. Oh, it made me laugh so much.
We are the worst people, probably.
The worst.
Just the worst. Like, there's no people worse than us. Like,
nope.
I mean, besides like the Trump administration, but fuck, that's another level, right? On Earth, like not in the bellows of hell, but on Earth, there are no two worse people than you and I, Kenny. I think that's why we get along so much.
Yeah. So follow us on Twitter. I do think though. So we did the Fastlane review, and I think that we tried our best to not just let it be like, we tried to not just be like, this was shit. We tried to like kind of analyze as much of it as we could, right?
Yeah, of course.
We gave it a go. And I think Raw was a step in the right direction for most things. They set up a lot of stuff and it was more solid than the night before.
Yes.
For sure. So we'll go through it. But just overall, before we get into the different parts of it, what did you think of Raw in Chicago as a follow up to Fastlane? Did it make you more excited for WrestleMania? Did they manage to put some things right? What was your overall takeaway before we go into the specifics?
They righted a few ships and continued to wrong others. The other thing that I think my big takeaway at the end of this is that I am no more or less excited about WrestleMania than I was the night before.
Well, there you go. We'll get into the specifics of it now then. So Chris Jericho opens the show. He gets a really good reaction from Chicago. Talks about this being the birthplace of Y2J, because obviously when he debuted in August 9th, 1999, it was in Chicago on Raw.
Greatest debut in wrestling history. I'm calling that right now.
So good. So good. Sadly, he tried to recreate it 8 years later to very diminishing returns, but... Anyway, so he talks about, you know, feeling betrayed and all that sort of stuff. And then Kevin Owens comes out, and Owens basically says that he never thought of Jericho as his best friend. He was using him, and he outlived his usefulness when he agreed on KO's behalf to do the match with Goldberg at Fastlane. And that was when he decided to, you know, he had to get rid of him. And then Jericho ended up saying that he wanted a match with Owens at WrestleMania. And Owens said that he does have a rematch for the Universal Championship, which he can take at any time. But before that, he wants to take what Jericho, what means most to Jericho, and that's his title. So the match is on Jericho Owens WrestleMania for the US title. They have a brawl. Samoa Joe comes in and helps Owens, furthering the whole idea that they are Triple H guys. And we kind of go to a break as Sami Zayn comes in to make the save to equalize things up towards the end. What did you think of this opening segment, the kickoff for Raw, and sort of, I guess, the official kind of seal of approval now that we are having Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho at WrestleMania for the US title? What did you think?
This was the best part of Monday Night Raw. It was all downhill after this, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It was just so good. Jericho, spot on. Babyface turn, 100% now. He is a babyface, officially, even though he was to begin with, because if you go around calling people stupid idiots and you get the biggest cheers and you put people on the list of Jericho and the list is more over than anyone else on the roster, then you're a babyface. Perception is reality, guys. I was hammering it into your heads yesterday and I'm going to continue doing it today. Perception is reality. It's nice to finally see that Jericho is embracing the babyface because he is possibly the greatest of all time. God, I love Jericho. Owens coming out and saying that he wouldn't do that to his best friend because Jericho never was his best friend broke my heart. Just said, I know you're going to do it to me one day, Kenny. I know you are. And so I could relate on it on a personal level. I like that they got away from the comedy bits of it, and now it feels like a blood feud, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just really good. I almost wish this was like a ladder match or something, though.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really exciting. I thought Jericho was great. I thought the explanation of Owens saying that, you know, he never was his best friend, he used him and all that, I thought it actually fits with the storyline they've had for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I think you can go back and watch the whole, like, you could watch a DVD one day of the whole Jericho, and I think that it makes sense from beginning to end and rewards you for continuing to watch it, which is a thing that wrestling should do. And I'm as we said on the Patreon review, I think that this is going to elevate the US title, and I'm in. I'm all in for WrestleMania. I'm all in for Owens and Jericho. The Chicago crowd were hot for them. Great opening segment. I think it was really good.
This is the match that I'm looking forward to seeing in person so much.
Yeah, for sure. And so we come back from the break and we end up getting a singles match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It doesn't go too long. It's basically Kevin Owens maniacally angry about losing the Universal Championship, which I love that he said I love that he addressed that he does get a rematch and he's going to take it down the line. That was important, I think, for him to say because he would want to get that back at some point.
Of course.
And he makes short work of Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's role here was to basically be the fodder for Kevin Owens, to get Kevin Owens over. Very short and sweet. What did you think of this one?
I wanted Sammy to be used a little better here because we remember like that great match that they had. I can't remember the throwaway pay-per-view it was on.
Battleground.
Sure, that one. Where Sami Zayn ended up...
you can't even bring yourself to see it.
where Sami Zayn ended up winning in that excellent match, probably the best match they've had in WWE. And to see him just kind of like tossed around and thrown away like this, I would have liked to have seen someone else in this role as opposed to Sammy right now. Especially since I really think Sammy, with how well he's improved and how far his character development has come, I think he deserves something at Mania, you know?
He does. You know, as I've saw some people say that they don't think he's been used that well in the last couple of months. I've actually really enjoyed the way he's been used the last couple of months.
No, it's been perfect. In his losses, he looks like a legend.
And you know what? I think the thing with this WrestleMania is that this is such a huge WrestleMania of a load of current guys, you know, which I think is important to say. It's not just part-time people, but there are a load of current guys who've got big spots in the show. So it's tough, but I hope he gets something. I hope that he's involved in something high profile. If it does come down to the Battle Royal, I hope he's at least in the final two and can be a big part of that. You know, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But we'll see, I guess. Up next, we have Neville defend the Cruiserweight title against Rich Swann. Rich Swann finally gets his rematch after losing the title of the Royal Rumble. Was it the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Yes. And this was the longest Cruiserweight title match in Raw history since they started.
Yeah, and you know what? It was very well deserving of this. I thought that this match was absolutely phenomenal. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. I think I preferred the Jack Gallagher one a little bit more, but I think that's only because I'm more invested in the Gallagher character than I am with Rich Swann. But I thought that Rich Swann did really well. I thought that he kind of, it was almost like Rich Swann kind of stamped himself back in the race again here.
Yeah. This is the type of thing, my wife is watching this, everybody likes a good Val hot take, so I'll deliver one here. She said that Rich Swann did more to get over in a loss in this match than anybody since Sami Zayn and since before Sami Zayn has in her recent memory. This was just the perfect way to get over in a loss. And he looked very strong throughout. It looked like he could win at any moment. It seemed like he had his aggression and his speed up a notch from how it usually is. This felt more like an indie match, you know, than the WWE's Cruiserweight division. And I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was wonderful.
I think it was important as well that Rich Swann, like, took Neville to his limit almost, you know, and then we get the match, and then Austin Aries comes in to interview Neville, and what was funny was, you know, Austin Aries is interviewing him, and the fans are just screaming Austin Aries.
Anything even starts.
And it's funny, like, I'll be honest, like, I've not been super impressed with Austin Aries running WWE so far.
Yeah.
I wasn't hugely thrilled on his stuff in NXT. I thought the Corbin match was boring last year. I don't think the Nakamura match was as good as I thought it was going to be on the takeover they had. So it just wasn't really clicking for me. And then he turned heel in No Way Jose, and I was more invested. But then he got injured. And I think that when he was in the ring here, I found myself watching it just kind of, like, as Neville started to basically, you know, talk him down, and Neville's kind of, you know, because obviously the fans are so behind Austin Aries here. And Neville's calling Austin Aries delusional to think he's close to being his level. And Aries is trying to, you know, still be the interviewer. And I found myself becoming hooked in the segment. And I found myself going, I really want Austin Aries to whack him. Like, I really wanted to hit him. And when you can, you know, for somebody who watches more wrestling than probably any human should, and it's a daily thing to hook me, I think it's quite a good thing to do. What did you make of Austin Aries kind of here, smashing Neville with a microphone and sort of, I guess, stamping down that he is returning to action in WWE.
Oh my God, how do I even... I feel like Sandra at the moment because I'm just so overcome with emotions about this segment, you guys. This was just great. I loved... We completely overlooked... I'm already giggling thinking about it. Him introducing his video package as, it's not a good package, it's not a bad package, it's the package. and fucking Cole and Graves just lose their shit, right? They're both just giggling, just like, oh man, Roman does have a really fucking stupid catchphrase. They lose it, it's just so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. Austin Aries, automatically the greatest treasure in WWE due to that. The segment in the ring, I didn't, like, it was one of those things to where, we've watched a lot of wrestling, right? Like, you just said, but they kind of swerved me here. I didn't think that was the direction they were going to go, and the crowd kind of bought it before I did, and they're cheering for him and everything, and he goes, you know, hey, you know, Neville, where do you go from here in the Cruiserweight division? Is there anyone else worthy? And the crowd's just automatically like, yeah, you're worthy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, no, they're not going to go this route, are they? And then he keeps goading Austin Aries and goading him until finally Aries rips off his shirt and Mr. Perfect's the world. because Austin Aries is the new Kurt Hennig to me. I fucking love this guy. He's just, oh my goodness. If Robert were here, he'd be over the moon for Austin Aries, so I have to do him some justice. That's the way that I see it. Is this match going to happen at WrestleMania, Kenny?
I think it is. I think this is the match. And Jesus Christ. I've never heard you make that noise before.
I'm so excited for it.
I think they've started the angle hot, and I think Neville's really good, and it's weird. I could see them going down a multi-man ladder match route, but for whatever reason, I feel like the way they did this felt more like it's going to be Aries and Neville.
I would rather see Aries and Neville than a ladder match, and that says a lot because I do love me a good ladder match.
If they do make it a ladder match, I'm not going to be angry because I would love to see, you know, Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar and some of the, and Jack Gallagher. Like, so if those guys get in there, I'll not be one bit annoyed about that. I'll be really happy to see them. But I think if it was through choice, I would rather see the one-on-ones that could tell more of a kind of tighter story. But either way, as long as it's one of those things, you know, a month ago, I remember I said I took my sort of sabbatical from the Cruiserweight segments. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. And they've hooked me back in, and it's Neville that's responsible for that because he is so great in this role.
He really is.
He's killing it, and I almost the point where I'm afraid for the day that he eventually loses that belt because he's just so good. But then I think if he does lose it, I think your heel is Austin Aries because Aries is great, but he's at his best when he's a heel. Like, he's the best arsehole on the planet. Like, he's just so good at being a dick.
Yes.
And I think ultimately that's where he'll go, but for now,
You know what, though? I think it's going to be sort of like Steve Austin's heel run when he did the comedy and everything, and that he's going to try to get booed, but people aren't going to want to boo him. They're just going to like him. So I think it's just going to be one of those classic tweener instances for Austin Aries from here on out. Because the crowd likes him, and they love his package.
Well, don't we all love his package? So, anyway. Up next on the show, we had Goldberg coming out here for the first time to some boos from the audience.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. He comes out, he's got the Universal Championship on. The crowd are behind him, but there's a vocal portion that are kind of booing as well. He does a pretty good promo where he talks about, you know, he's here for the fans, and the fans got him to where he is, the fans got him the title, and then there's a CM Punk chant that starts. You know, we're in Chicago, we're going to get it eventually, and the irony is that if CM Punk ever comes back, he'll be doing a Goldberg. So that's the funny thing about it all. Like, whenever CM Punk comes back, he's going to be the part-time guy, so it makes me laugh. But so the fans are chanting CM Punk, and then Goldberg's like, yeah, I hear that. And fucking Paul Heyman runs out of that fucking backstage area faster than you can imagine. Because I got the feel that they did not want Goldberg to mention CM Punk. So they wheel Heyman out quicker than they probably were intending to. Heyman brought out Brock Lesnar. Lesnar comes out very intense. They go face to face. The crowd are really heating up, you know, as they go face to face. Lesnar looks at the belt. Heyman starts cutting a promo. Lesnar wants to shake Goldberg's hand. Goldberg is very clearly suspicious of that, and suspicious that he would want to do that. And then Paul Heyman kind of finishes by saying, you know, when the match is over, everyone can look at Goldberg and say, there he is, Brock's bitch. And as Goldberg starts to sort of intensify, Lesnar grabs him, hits an F5, Lesnar and Heyman leave, and Goldberg is trying to get to his feet after an F5. Crowd reaction aside, I thought the segment was great. I really enjoyed it. And I'm curious to what you think, because we obviously on the Fastlane Patreon review, we were kind of, you know, singing the praises a little bit of Goldberg being the champion going into WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar. What did you think of this segment and how it played out in Chicago overall?
This was very interesting. Like, I was kind of lukewarm on everything in this until the Brock's bitch part. And then all of a sudden it just completely... It's sort of like you're at a dinner table, right, Kenny? And you're having a nice meal. You'd be eating a steak. I'd be eating a tofu, right?
I'd give you one fork bit of my steak because I'd be like, come on, try it. And then Val hits me and says, stop giving him steak. Yeah, I get it.
That's an accurate representation. The other day I was like, come on, let's get ice cream. And she's like, motherfucker, you're going to die. And I'm like, goddammit. So we're at the dinner table, right? We're eating a nice meal. Paul Heyman's there. He's, you know, going over how delicious his meal is. Then all of a sudden, right as you're getting comfortable, boom, he flips the table on you, right? And then mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar comes out and just beats your ass to a bloody pulp for eating steak in front of your best friend, right? So that's kind of what it was like. So that's... See, I wish you weren't nice about it earlier, because that's where I was going. you killed my punchline, you motherfucker.
I'm not quite sure what to make of that analogy. Do you think, the big question everyone's asking is, do you think that the fan reaction here is indicative of the fan reaction wherever Goldberg goes now, or do you think it was more of a Chicago thing?
It's tough, because Chicago crowds are going to be tame by comparison to Mania crowds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, looking ahead to just Mania, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's going to be a rough day at the office for Goldberg at WrestleMania, which is too bad, because I think he deserves better. His run here has been really good. So, I don't know. Now, in lesser towns, in terms of, like, smart marks, he'll be fine. He'll be really over and everything, and... No, he'll be fine in that aspect. But Mania, I think it's going to be a right day at the office.
I am... You know, I still say that I think this is the right move to be the main event and to be the Universal title match for the reasons that I've said in the Patreon review, I've said last week, and et cetera, et cetera. But here's a statistic that I would back up as to why it is the rightful main event. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, which I really want to see, so I don't want people to think that I don't want to see it. I really do want to see it, and I think it's better placed as a US title match for me. You go on WWE's YouTube channel and they put up all the clips from Raw, right? And you can kind of get a feel of how many people have watched stuff because you see how many people have watched these clips.
Sure.
So Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, their segment from Raw has done 1,118,000 hits as of right now.
Wow.
How many hits do you think the Brock Lesnar Goldberg segment has done? More or less?
Which segment specifically?
So the Jericho segment is Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Their promo and brawl, and the Brock Lesnar is the promo and the F5. So you've got 1.1 million on the Jericho Owens one. What do you think the Goldberg Lesnar one is in comparison? Just a guess.
I'm gonna say more.
The Brock Lesnar Goldberg one has done 1,962,000 hits.
Yeah.
Almost a million more. And I think that's because it's something that people want to see. But the other thing that I think is interesting, and I'm not just saying this because Goldberg's coming over for Inside the Ropes later this year, which will be great, insidetheropes.co.uk for tickets. But I think that the other thing is Brock Lesnar's not really a heel.
Yeah.
Either. So you've got this thing, you've got two guys, and then you've got Goldberg who comes out, and Goldberg's kind of been around now for a couple of months, so the shine of him being the new thing is kind of gone. And then you've got Brock Lesnar who's just coming back, and he doesn't really make many appearances. So I think that people are just kind of... I think in the lead-up to WrestleMania, you're going to find that every week could be new. You just don't know what you're going to get, you know? And I don't think that the fans were... This was not a Roman Reigns response by any stretch of the imagination. There was a portion of the crowd who were booing, but he kind of, by the end, I felt like they kind of got across what they needed to do. And I think that at the end of the day, Goldberg is not going to be someone who's going to, like, fall apart under the pressure.
No. He'll be absolutely fine.
And I think that I think the match will deliver in the end. So I really enjoyed the segment. I thought that they did they kind of heated up the match a little bit, having Goldberg take his first bump in WWE in 13 years. You know?
It's kind of nuts that he's been in the ring that many times and he hasn't bumped.
Yeah, but it meant more now. It meant more to see it here because of that, I thought.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I think that they should have played that up on commentary, though.
Yeah, I hope they do going forward. And, you know, Lesnar's on every Raw now till WrestleMania. I assume Goldberg's going to be on, you know, two, if not all three. So I'm excited to see what they do with this story and see where it goes. So
we'll
see where it goes. We did get Enzo and Cass having a rematch for the Raw Tag Team titles with Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. The match, Sheamus and Cesaro had a segment backstage with Enzo and Cass earlier in the night. In the end, Enzo ended up knocking Cesaro's coffee out of his hands during the match, and Cesaro ended up running in and causing a DQ. So it was like a no contest, and we found out later from Mick Foley that we're going to have Enzo and Cass next week against Sheamus and Cesaro to determine who goes to WrestleMania to face the champs. What did you think of the match and the sort of creative for the tag titles going into WrestleMania as of just now?
It's kind of, this is just all leading up to them having a three-way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just
here's how I would describe it. I am someone who suffers from an irritable bowel, right? That's just something that I have.
Kenny, you never talk about it.
I don't like to talk about it in public. And, like, sometimes when you've got IBS, sometimes you're fucking never away from the toilet, and sometimes you do it once every 4 days, right? That's basically... If I had not taken a shit for 4 days, and I knew I needed to go, I would probably enjoy that process more than the Raw Tag Team scene right now.
What is it exactly about the Raw Tag Team scene that bothers you so much?
Just, it's so nothing. Like, the club are just cold as ice. There's nothing interesting going on there, which is a shame because they're really funny guys. Yeah. Enzo and Cass, I think, are just getting to a point where I think the crowd are, like, I think they're at their peak thing just now. Like, you know, there's all this merch for them, and I just think they're not likable people, I don't think. And then Sheamus and Cesaro are the only good thing about it, but they've not really got anything to bounce off of because all the New Day are doing is coming out with an ice cream cart. For every week.
See, that was my fear about the New Day hosting WrestleMania. Now they're just coming out and shilling shit, you know?
And that's the fear is that, you know, the New Day can, here's the thing about the New Day can get by doing this for a month, and as long as they're in a good story after it, long term people will have forgotten about it. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like the end of the New Day.
This was my fear, though, whenever you were like, why aren't you excited about them hosting WrestleMania? Now you're saying, hopefully they'll have something lined up, that way we can forget about it.
No. What I mean is, like, I would rather the New Day hosted WrestleMania than be involved in this terrible storyline. Like, I would rather see them do that, because at least, like, our cards on the table... This is probably the match that I would choose to go and get a hot dog at WrestleMania. Like, I would choose to go and get something to eat during this.
Yeah.
Because you don't get much time at WrestleMania. You have to kind of pick your battles of when you're going to go and get something to eat or get a drink. And this just... I mean, does anything grip you about this tag feud at the moment?
Cesaro, that's about it. But, I mean, he wrestled a fucking 45-minute Iron Man match with fucking Jinder Mahal at the fucking pay-per-view.
Oh God! And I actually really like Sheamus as well. I think Sheamus has got better with Cesaro as well. I really enjoy him. Just fucking give me Sheamus and Cesaro against American Alpha at WrestleMania. Just give me that.
Unify the fucking titles and just put that for real. There's your story.
Mm-hmm. We got Akira Tozawa beating Arya Daivari in a very quick match, and then we got Kendrick coming out after it. They're continuing their lesson thing. I'm digging it. I like it. It's a nice, cool side story.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was impressed by how good Akira Tozawa's English was, too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him now. I, like, he's just... I think Akira Tozawa was one of those guys that, like, see if you were to show someone who isn't watching WWE right now the show, I think they'd be like, oh, that guy's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
We had the New Day do their ice cream thing, and then they beat the Shining Stars in a match. I don't really have anything to say about it. It was just filler. Anything free.
The New Day used to be, like, the highlight of Raw, right? And now, as you said, this was filler.
Yeah. So depressing. Yep. But the thing is, though, what they need to do is rejuvenate the tag division somehow. That's what needs to happen, you know? The tag team division needs rejuvenation. I really hope they get it somehow.
The Chicago crowd, not really into the ice cream. They wanted CM Punk's ice cream bars instead of the New Day booty pops or whatever the fuck they're calling them.
Yeah, maybe not the best city to promote ice cream, given they want it from their hometown boy.
All things considered, yeah.
We then got Mick Foley in the ring. He brought out Bayley. Bayley finally... has a problem with the fact that she won the way she did, thank God, a little bit. We had Sasha out there, we had Charlotte out there, and Bayley finally seemed to show a little bit of remorse that she won the way she did.
Thank God. I mean, like, at least they tried to do something here.
Yeah, and then we had Charlotte on the mic as well, sort of saying how much she deserves a title shot. Sasha's out there. Talking about how she was robbed of her pay-per-view streak, and she was trying to pit that Mick Foley has favourites and he wants his little girls to go around. Charlotte was on fucking fire here. I love Charlotte so much. I really love her.
So, me and the wife were having a little bit of a discussion. Charlotte is the best woman in either women's division, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think it's close either. Sorry, nope. Guys. Yeah, no. She's
incredible.
She just commands a ring. She has a commanding presence to her, and I really hate to say it, but it's kind of funny. While we were watching the match last night, I told the wife, I go, you know, I hate to say it, and then she finished my sentence for me. She goes, Bayley's not that great, is she? And I go, nope, she's not. Just very incredibly underwhelming on the main roster. Just not feeling it at all.
And I don't know, it's difficult. I don't know how much of that you pin on the promotion, how much of that you pin on the performer, how much of that you pin on the creative, maybe a combination of the three. Like,
I think it's at least 50-50.
It's tough. I just hope... Now, here's the other question, though. Do you think that they're going to go... So Stephanie then comes out to kill the segments, as she usually does. She mentions CM Punk. She talks about the crowd being losers. In the end, she ends up creating a match with Bayley and Sasha right then and there. So we ended up on the show getting Bayley versus Sasha, and Sasha Banks gets, if she can beat Bayley, she gets into the match at WrestleMania. It'll be a triple threat with Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley. At least Stephanie did a heel thing here. Maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of admired the way that she handled that crowd.
Yeah, she did. She mentioned CM Punk. She called him loser. She called them losers. Cool. And we got this Bayley and Sasha match, which just didn't do anything for me. I really wish it did.
This was not a good match.
No.
Absolutely, like, oh my, what happened? Like...
No idea. Do you know what I think it is?
These guys could tear it up in NXT. What the fuck happened?
I think that we know Sasha's going to go heel, and Sasha needs to go heel, and Bayley kind of needs... I almost think Bayley needs the world to come crashing down on her as a character.
Yeah.
And rebuild, you know, and have that. So, I mean, it seems now like maybe we're just going to get a three-way at WrestleMania. Maybe it's just going to be Sasha, Bayley, and... Charlotte, which I think would be a better match than having Nia in it, but I do feel bad if Nia's going to be kind of not around. But yeah. I get it. I think maybe it's the right decision, you know? Because those three at WrestleMania, I think, you know, through all the bullshit, they will be able to pull off something really, really good.
No, I definitely agree. I hope that they can clean up this act, though, because, like, that sequence that they did with the pinfalls, God, it looks so choreographed and bad.
And we get the distraction, and it ends up that Sasha gets to reapply the bank statement, and Bayley taps out, and I mean, it was fine. It just
I don't think it was fine. I think it was bad. I'll be the first one to say it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm probably being too nice. but we then get some footage from Seth Rollins working out, showing that he wants to be at WrestleMania. I like this. I thought this made him seem likable and sympathetic, which is a good thing to feel about Seth Rollins. And then we got a Triple H interview where he talks about, you know, Seth Rollins claiming he's the man, and, you know, nobody ever had to call me. I never had to call myself the man. Everyone else called me. I'm like, okay, fine. let's do that narrative. But do you know what? He was a good heel here, and he cut a good heel promo. And I think that he is kind of holding up the end of the feud here, which is props to him.
Yeah. No. This was perfectly adequate. You guys, I enjoyed it. It did its job.
And then we got a very quick Chris Jericho Samoa Joe, which wasn't really a match. It was more of an angle. It went like 4 minutes. We basically got Joe doing the dirty work for Kevin Owens and Triple H, and applying the clutch on the floor. Jericho passes out. Joe wins by count out, and then after the match, Jericho kind of comes back in, hits the code breaker on Joe. Jericho kind of gets to get some retribution. It was cool. I think the problem was people probably wanted a longer Joe and Jericho match if you advertise it, but
that's fine. Something they can do later on down the line. That's how I feel about that.
But like overall as an angle, I liked that Joe was kind of there doing the dirty work, and even though he did kind of get the clutching and take Jericho out, Jericho in the end got to have a kind of last say. That he's not just, you know, an old vet that's there to be beaten. He's able to hang as well. So I thought the segment was effective.
No, it did the job right and proper. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
So it's main event time. We get Braun Strowman coming out. He says that he didn't need a match. He just wants Roman Reigns to come out here like a man so he can rip him limb from limb. Strowman said that Chicago doesn't like Roman Reigns, and neither does he.
Huge baby face pop.
Big Roman. Big Braun, sorry. And then Roman's music starts to hit, but then it stops and the gong goes off. And The Undertaker comes out. The fans in Chicago go fucking nuts for The Undertaker. He comes out. He faces off with Strowman. Strowman just kind of nods, backs up, leaves the ring, and leaves Taker to it. What was your interpretation of Braun sort of leaving him to it? And were you happier that we didn't get a repeat of Roman beating Braun again? Where do you see him here? What did you make of that part of it before we dissect the rest?
I kind of interpreted him as bowing out of respect to The Undertaker.
That's what I took it as.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
No, I did too. The way he kind of nodded and just backed off, like, "All right, I get it."
From one cowboy to another, kind of thing, you know, like
exactly. It's all like, "All right, you know, I'll live to fight another day at another battle, and you can have this one." One of those things. My only issue with that, though, is where the hell does Braun go now?
And I feel like everything we said yesterday on Patreon about it'd be very, very curious to see where Braun goes. That just extends for a further 7 days.
I know. I don't know what to make of that. I thought that.
But you know what?
I like the execution, but I just don't know where the destination is.
I thought it was good that Braun was involved here, because they could have done this without him. Yes. They could have just done, and I think the fact they had him involved and had him kind of just in the ring with The Undertaker facing off was a cool visual. People liked it. I was down with that. So Undertaker comes out. Fans are, you know, the good thing was the fans were chanting "Holy shit!" when it was Taker and Braun. People were into that. That's definitely something down the road they could explore.
I was begging the entire time. I said, please just start attacking each other so it's not Undertaker and Roman at Mania. Please! Anything! Fucking Jinder Mahal, come out and do something!
Don't you dare give them ideas.
Anybody but Roman! Anyone! Curtis Axel, where are you?
So Undertaker's in the ring, his music starts to play again, and then Roman Reigns cuts it off, who was very heavily booed in Chicago. Roman Reigns says, Braun didn't call you out, dead man, he called out me. With all due respect, this is my yard now. And Undertaker just gives him one of those looks, and just looks at the WrestleMania sign. Fans are chanting, Roman sucks. Reigns looks at the sign as well, and then Undertaker just choke slams him to hell. Massive cheers, and Undertaker leaves the ring. I thought it was a hot open to this rivalry. I'm intrigued to see how they get to WrestleMania with it, but I like that Undertaker just kind of, you know, Roman was a bit of a dick to Undertaker, you know, like saying, you know, this is my yard now and all that, and Undertaker just chokeslammed him for it. Like, I digged it. I dug it. I thought it was pretty decent. I know you don't want this match at WrestleMania anyway, but like, what did you make of the way they kind of kicked it off?
I wasn't a fan. I'm just, this does nothing for me. Like, absolutely, I would rather see Goldberg versus Ellsworth in a fucking Iron Man match at WrestleMania than this match.
What is it you don't want to see about it?
Roman.
All right, okay.
Roman in a high-profile match anymore. I have waited my entire life to get to WrestleMania. Ever since WrestleMania 9, when I made the conscious decision, I need to get there one day. One day I'll have enough money saved up. One day I'm going to get over there and I'm going to see The Undertaker at WrestleMania. One of these days. And now I get to go see The Undertaker lose to the worst wrestler on the roster. Like, what a slap in my nuts. Like, you know, I'm just sitting there trying to catch a nap, and all of a sudden, a guy comes up and flicks me right in the balls, Kenny. That's what this is.
If the rumor mill is that he may turn heel. If this is the vehicle to make Roman Reigns properly turn into a heel, is this an effective way to do it? To have him face off against The Undertaker and potentially take him down?
Here's the thing, Kenny. I really emphasized that for you.
I got it.
The thing that I really don't understand is everybody goes, oh, well, he'll turn heel and this would be a great way for him to get booed. Motherfucker, do you have ears currently? Because you can listen to every fucking event that he's ever been on and hear a chorus of boo from thousands of people across the country, across the world. No one likes him. It's not even like a Cena thing. He's not even that great in the ring compared to Cena, you know? So, like, what, he's going to turn heel? Bitch, motherfucker, he's already heel. He gets booed louder than every other person on any roster in the history of wrestling. In the WWE. He's the biggest heel. Like, what else do you need?
I think if he is positioned as a heel against babyfaces, it will, you know, for me anyway, I think that he is, when he is positioned as a babyface, even though fans treat him like a heel, it hurts the guys around him that he works with. So I think if they're able to have him be a heel against babyfaces, it would be good. But I guess we'll see. We'll see next week where they take it and how they intend getting there. David, overall, this Raw, coming at Fastlane after the befuddlement of some of the Fastlane decisions, what would you give this show out of 10?
I would give this show a 7. A solid 7. The highlights, I would say, for this would be the Rick Swan and Neville match. Who would have thought that cruiserweight stuff would be, like, highlights on both shows back-to-back? So, kudos to Neville, man. He's really tearing it up. The Austin Aries fallout right afterwards. The best part of the show, of course, Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. They really tore the house down with that. Truly enjoyed it. The Goldberg and Lesnar stuff was decent. Yeah, those would be my highlights. Kenny, what
seven
would you give this, and what would you rate it?
I would give it a 7.5.
Okay.
I thought they did a good job building to what they need to build at for Mania. I thought they did a decent job with the Undertaker Reigns thing and getting it going. Anytime you get to see Undertaker is great. I liked that Braun was involved and given a nod of respect to Undertaker. I liked the programs they built with Goldberg and Lesnar and Austin Aries and Neville, and the Kevin Owens stuff with Chris Jericho was great. So overall, I enjoyed the show. It was more of a step in the right direction. The women's thing is still a bit baffling to me, so I hope that they're able to somehow salvage that on the road to WrestleMania. But there you go. David, as we leave and depart, how can people find you on Twitter?
You can provide me with wonderful MMW revival ideas. we are currently seeking new venues, and we need to get a new ring. I got one of those turtle kiddie pools that you have for the little kids, and we're going to fill that with sand that has rusty nails in there, and also fish hooks. So that'll be fun. The wrestler's got to wrestle barefoot, obviously. And deep down in there, it's kind of like a Vince Russo thing. I have numerous kiddie pools, and whoever can find the key to save their wife, because I've kidnapped all of the midgets' wives, and they are all in shark cages, right? And
what he meant to say was ZOOPSOUL. Ain't he great? That's David's Twitter. He's not going to tell you about kidnapping wives anymore. He is going to leave you with a lovely message. You can find me at KennyMC1985.
What if they run out of oxygen, though, in the shark tanks?
David, say your bit about being nice to other people.
Be nice to other people, unless they're the wives of the midget wrestlers that you're holding hostage.
Thank you for listening. I am not in any way a part of this. I take no blame. I did not kidnap anybody. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, sure. He didn't kidnap anybody. Wink. Nudge.